To take this station with you wherever you go, download the Radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the Radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Bernstein and McKnight, 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
Sure, the idea of maybe failing to win a playoff series was out there. Or, God forbid, having to play in the wild card game. That was out there.
Coming up short is different from soiling yourself.
That's unbelievable.
That's another t-shirt we have.
Listen to Bernstein and McKnight, 9 to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
The Score, Behind the Headlines, a new podcast series from The Score's Julie DeCaro and executive producer Tony Gill. Season 1 reexamines the murder of James Jordan after 20 years of shocking revelations.
You have to understand about where it happened.
The Robeson County Sheriff's Office gets caught up in the federal corruption probe. 22 officers were charged with perjury all the way up to drug trafficking.
The Score, Behind the Headlines, the murder of James Jordan. Download the latest episode now on 670thescore.com or radio.com. Sports.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
McNeil and Parkins. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
Boomer Esiason.
You know, I always thought that Dan Marino has like a PhD in the NFL. Like, you put him on a football field, he just looks right, he feels right. It's his place of comfort. And it just looked different than everybody else. And I would say the same thing about Patrick Mahomes this generation. Peyton Manning was the same way. Like, they just feel so comfortable on the field. Processing all of it under the high pressure, the psychological pressure, the anxiety, you know, sometimes makes players do stupid things on the field. I think Mitch is more than bright enough to be able to play at a very high level and to absorb an entire playbook. But it hits everybody at a different moment. You know, like, I'll never forget my rookie year. I thought I was the dumbest guy on the football field. I had no clue to what the hell I was doing.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station. 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago sports station. The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Quickly back in, it's a break, and looks in front there, Strom to the goal, he scores! Dylan Strom, that's triggered by Corey Crawford, who made a 120-foot pass, and the Hawks off to the races, Strom catches, it's 3-2.
Middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight in for the Lawrence Holmes Show. The hour brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet on Cermak Road in Broadview. The top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football at Ryan Field this fall. The Wildcats, led by Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald, host Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota in Big Ten play. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale now at NUSports.com. Let's have a conversation about the Blackhawks with a guy who is on Twitter at Stromer, the hockey nickname.
That's how you do it.
Stromer19. Dylan Strome, the Blackhawks center, is on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Over 500 new and used vehicles to choose from at Alpamonte Ford. Dylan, how are you, man?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful. So, highlight of the trip overseas to Prague. I know you guys would like to come out with a W for sure, but highlight of the trip for you was what, Dylan?
Probably going to that soccer game we went to. We went to a game in Prague. It was Dortmund versus Prague in the Champions League for UEFA, so that was pretty cool. Saw the crowd chanting pretty much the entire game. Didn't really know what they were saying, but it was a wild card. I think 30,000 people there, and I guess it was their first Champions League game, so that was pretty cool to see.
That wasn't my highlight. My highlight was you and DeBrinket in that tent, sitting at the table, and they've got this blue tarp, and there's this huge unveiling, and there's some guy screaming in German, and they're trying to get you guys unveiled, and the thing is stuck, and then eventually it's there, and you guys looking like, okay, all right, here we are. That happened. All right, German screaming guy. Thank you. So that was fun.
Yeah, it was pretty awkward. He couldn't get the thing undone, and then everyone was clapping, and then by the time he got it undone, no one was clapping, and then we got our faces shown, so it was pretty awkward.
Now, was that just an autograph signing, or just people kind of saying hi? What was that?
Yeah, like, there was a bunch of people in line, and then we signed some whatever they had for us, and then We did like shooting on a board, and then we did some stick handling, and then all these people watched us. So it was pretty good. There was actually quite a bit of people there, but it was just an awkward moment that I guess made for some comedy on Twitter.
All right, so here's my question. We had a nice conversation with Stan Bowman over the summer, and just talking about what the Colleton system is going to look like when things really get going a little bit. And one thing he said was, you know, looking at a lot of the numbers and just the eye test, that last year's team was a really good, like, fast-breaking team. You guys upped the ice and you know, pretty goals and athletic stuff. Hawks are really good at that. Not so much just setting up in the zone 5-on-5, creating opportunities. How much emphasis has there been on what you guys just do in normal 5-on-5 zone possession time and making sure that that's as productive as the end-to-end stuff?
Yeah, I think, well, anytime you play against, you know, any team in the NHL, they're going to be pretty good structurally. We actually talked about it yesterday at practice, where majority of everyone's chances in hockey come off of turnover, and that's usually off the rush. So you know, it's definitely tough to create chances 5-on-5. But I think what we've been talking about is, you know, setting the next lineup in a good position. So, you know, have a good shift in the offensive zone, and maybe create a whistle, and, you know, let the first line get out there. And or maybe there's an icing call in the first line, can get out against, you know, a tired third or fourth line and try to take advantage. So I think just, you know, kind of having a good shift, a good momentum swing, and letting you know, letting the guys that put the puck in the net go out there and you know, hopefully put it in for us.
Talking with Dylan Strome of the Blackhawks here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. Dylan, I'm looking at a stat line here that says, prior to your trade to the Blackhawks, you had 16 points in the NHL, then went on to put up 17 goals, 34 assists, 51 points total in just 58 games. In every sport, guys like us ask athletes whether there's like a switch that goes on, or just something that lights up, or a moment where you realize, like, oh, this is how the game works. Did that happen for you? In what ways did you find the big changes happening when you got dealt?
I think a lot of things changed. I don't know. I guess I just kind of came into Chicago. I don't think anyone really knew what to expect of me. I didn't even know what to expect of myself. I mean, obviously I knew I could get points and score and stuff. I did it my whole life. And then all of a sudden in Arizona, I just couldn't really get it done. And, you know, it was kind of frustrating because I'd never had to go through that before. So when I got here, I just kind of just tried to reset my whole brain and my whole mindset, and got back to playing with Alex and playing with some really good players, and got out on the ice and just kind of stopped thinking about it so much. I think there was just no pressure on me. Just, you know, go have fun and go play and do whatever you do. And the rest will take care of itself. And I feel like when I was in Arizona, I was always, you know, trying to live up to that third overall pick and trying to, you know, maybe be something I'm not, where, you know, I'm not the most flashy guy out there. I just try to get the job done and try to create some plays for my teammates. And, you know, I guess I was trying to be like just trying to do too much. And I think it kind of hurt me in the long run. And then now I'm here. So now I'm just trying to, you know, not be the most flashy guy, but, you know, have fun and set up my teammates and score some goals and help the team win. I think, you know, we got on some pretty good streaks last year, so hopefully we can do that again this year and get the first win tomorrow, or on Thursday.
Not that you had some awful moments in this season with the Blackhawks, but when you find yourself like getting into a rut, like not playing well, are there things that remind you of that trying to do too much, of that kind of mindset or that play style or whatever? And do you find yourself able to get out of it easier because it's identifiable, because you'd been there before?
Yeah, for sure. I think the biggest thing is, for a hockey player, you got to be worried about your game when you're not getting chances. You know, sometimes you go on a little slump, or you go on, you know, don't score for 4 or 5 games, but, you know, sometimes most of the time you're getting chances. And I think, you know, when you're getting chances, they're eventually going to go in. So I think as a hockey player, you start to get worried when you're not creating anything. And then that's when you got to kind of reset and figure things out. I think when players go through a slump, you know, a lot of the time they're still getting chances. So it's just about bearing down and putting them in. So I think obviously you don't want to go back to, you know, having no confidence, but you just got to find a way to put them in. You're going to get chances. And sometimes all it takes is, you know, a puck that you just kind of chip out of your zone and someone goes and scores and you get an assist and the team starts winning and you just kind of get on that roll again. So all it takes is something that little to kind of switch your whole game around. So I feel like that's a big thing for hockey players.
The home opener Thursday, 7:30 versus San Jose. They're going to do the red carpet thing again. So the atrium doors are going to open at 3. All United Center parking lots are going to open at 2. And the gates are going to open for the home opener following the conclusion of the red carpet event right around 5:30 p.m. Now, your guy DeBrincat also is one of these guys who just all of a sudden just seemed like he realized he could be really good. And it impresses me to see how easily he's able to slip into high danger areas and hold his position there despite being the size he is, be able to make plays on the puck in traffic around so many bigger guys. Is that something that we've watched him learn, or is that an innate ability that just some guys are better at that?
I think he's just better at a lot of guys about finding open areas. Like you said, he's he gets open when you don't think he can get open, and somehow he just, you know, he has the puck on his stick. I mean, you know, usually he's waiting up there with a stick in the air in the slot and looking for a pass, and that's where you got to be to score the goals. So he knows where to go to score the goals, and you know, he's got some good players setting him up, you know, all over the ice. He's got, you know, we got some really good defensemen that move the puck up, and obviously anytime you're on the ice with Kane, you got to be ready for the puck. So you know, he knows how to get open, and I think it's a good trait for him to have, where you know, guys want to play with him because he can score so easily, and I think that's definitely a, like I said, a good trait to have.
You have a reputation as a bit of a stat head, and that it's not really all that common in hockey to have guys looking up numbers. Do you do it just because you're a fan and you're just interested in stuff and you happen to be looking at it anyway, or is that sort of a way you can look to learn more about your individual game? I don't know if you're looking at the, you know, Corsi 5-on-5 stuff, Fenwick stuff, whatever, some of the modern analytics that are available and regressed PDOs and all that kind of thing, but is that professional stuff or is that fan stuff or both?
I'm not really looking at the Corsi and things like that. I mostly just look at, you know, stats of guys that we're playing against, or guys who, you know, are on our team, or like, I don't know, former stats or anything. I guess I just get bored sometimes, and after games you're kind of, you know, wired up, and you don't hard to go to bed after a game right away. So I'm just usually hanging out on my phone or my iPad and just, you know, watching highlights, and then if I see a guy, I just kind of look him up or whatever. And I don't know, I guess it just kind of sticks with me, and then when people talk about it, I'm not afraid to jump in and say what I know. So I guess that's why I'm considered kind of that way, but I guess I've just always been like that. I like to watch hockey. I like to look things up. So mostly just goals, assists, and, you know, where people played. And I like to, you know, get relationships with guys on different levels. And, you know, I like to know where they played before, or where they played junior or college or anything like that. So I don't know, just look up guys on hockey database or Elite Prospects or whatever the website is, and then just go from there.
Do you have like a favorite quirky NHL stat that sticks in your mind, or like a conversation starter? Like, for instance, I'm more of a baseball guy myself, and like the thing that sticks in my brain baseball stat wise is Stan Musial had the same amount of hits on the road as he did at home over like a 20-year career. It's mind-blowing me. Do you have a favorite weird quirky stat?
Not really. The guy I think of when I think of that is Chris Kunitz. I think he has, there's a stat that he has more games played than some crazy number in his draft class, which he was never drafted. So the year that he got drafted, I think he was playing midget, and he never got drafted, and he has more games played than, I want to say, like 95% of his draft class. So, which is pretty crazy. So, you know, for someone that hadn't got drafted, I got to know him pretty well last year, and he was my seat partner on the plane, and we played guard. So got to talk to him. He went to Ferris State, which not too many players in the NHL have gone there. So I guess that's kind of what I got.
It's a good stat.
Talking with Blackhawks center Dylan Strome on the Bernstein and McKnight show, extended into the Lawrence Holmes show hours here today on The Score. What has it been like with so many steady veterans that were added to this roster, guys like Olli Maatta and Calvin DeHaan and Andrew Shaw? What does it do to a locker? What does it do for the younger players to have that much experience around up and down the roster?
Yeah, it's you know, it's nice to see. I mean, I think when you look at our roster on paper, it definitely got better compared to last year. I think Stan did a really good job this summer of adding the pieces, I think, to make us, you know, hopefully get over the hump. I mean, last year we only missed the playoffs by, I think, it was 6 points, and we were right into it till the third last game of the year. So obviously you look at that, and you look at, you know, a few games that hopefully could have gone our way, and we'll go this way this year. So obviously it's a new year and everyone's kind of at the same level right now, but I think it's exciting to see. I mean, it kind of sucks that, you know, I think we're the only team in the NHL that's played one game. So you know, we're looking forward to Thursday and hopefully getting the same on the right track. And sucks playing a game and losing and having to wait so long, but hopefully we can use it to our advantage. And I know we play a bunch in a row here, so no, we're looking forward to that.
So, Dylan, I'm guessing that between you and your teammates, there is one, if not many, group texts going on?
Yeah, there is.
So I'm wondering on the Blackhawks group texts, the one that just includes the players, the one that doesn't have any coaches or assistants or trainers or equipment guys looped in, on the players group text, what was the most common response when you found out that the Hawks had gone out and gotten Robin Leonard to go with Corey Crawford?
Well, actually we don't. You don't really keep in touch, like, in the group chat over the summer. So that was during the summer, I believe. I think that was in July, early July. That might have been really July 1st. So, not much. I think I was in Chicago actually during the summer for training, and a bunch of guys here were really pumped. And, you know, obviously Leonard had such a great year last year, and I don't think we really knew much about him, but now that I got to know him and you know how good of a guy he is, and he's awesome. He's an awesome guy to have in the locker room. He's definitely a loud human being, and he definitely lets you know when you don't score on him in practice. So he's always there to hold you accountable, and you know, he wants you to be the best player. So he's fun to be around, and he's an awesome guy with a great story, and you know, we're happy to have him on our team.
You know, I mentioned Andrew Shaw before. One thing you know about having him around is that he tends to get ugly, greasy goals, and they go in off of the skates and people and things and backs of goaltenders and chin pads, and it's fine. And I'd love to see more of it because, you know, back to the first question I asked about how you guys, you know, would fast break into some, you know, beautiful tic-tac-toe passing goals. I wonder how much emphasis there is on the old hockey aphorism of put puck on net, sometimes puck go in net. And it doesn't always have to be the 100% probability or the 98% probability that sometimes just the force of your line of just being aggressive and just giving yourself chances, maybe you get a rebound and you just throw one in off of a skate.
I think you're exactly right. You know, hockey is about getting greasy goals, and I think that's what Shaw brings, is gets to the net hard, and a lot of pucks go in off him, and you know, he creates havoc. I don't know if you guys watched the first game, but he was in there just absolute causing mayhem in their zone. You know, even late in the game, he was running around, the puck went off him. He screened on the Kane goal. He was screening the goalie unbelievably. So I think it's things like that where if you have the more traffic you have in front, the greasier goals you get, and every team needs those because, like you said, you know, there's not too many, you know, pretty passing plays where it's tic-tac-tic-tac-toe and in. And no, I think we have to do a better job of that, of getting in front and creating those goals, because it's just going to help the team in the long run.
Dill, this is a lot of fun. We'll leave you with this bit of statistical trivia if it interests you. The great Wayne Gretzky has more assists than anyone else has points.
Yeah, I knew that.
Oh, okay. All right. We're going to have to play Stump Stromer next time. So, Jay, next time we have him on, you got to up your game. He knew that one. Dylan, thank you. It was fun.
Thanks, Dylan.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Dylan Strom of the Blackhawks.
Whoa, did you hear that bus?
Yeah, because I'm here looking up obscure hockey facts.
That's not obscure.
Everyone has that one. Everyone has that one in your brain.
Asking about favorites, and that's my favorite.
That's true.
People don't understand the greatness of Wayne Gretzky. You have to tell them.
Yep. Rick, we will need to clip and save the... Yeah, I knew that.
Strome. Who is the baseball player that hits .247 every year?
Chris Davis, right? Chris Davis with a K.
Yes, every year hits .247.
I don't think he did it this year. I'd have to look up. We got Josh Sheen coming up in just a little bit. We can do that then. We can talk Chris Davis and batting .247 each year of your cursed major league career.
Oh, we'll talk a lot of stuff. But if you're just joining us, the sports story, the most important sports story of the day, is the fact that the Chinese government has said it's reconsidering its entire business relationship with the National Basketball Association.
It's a $4 billion problem.
Because of a tweet. And there's a bit of hypocrisy going on in that, too. When they start talking about what is free speech and what is their affairs, and I'm going to get to it. We have an email that speaks to the inherent hypocrisy of the rabbit ears of some of these communist regimes.
We'll get to the big news of the day when we come back. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight, 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
You've got to fix the blocking. Understand this about David Montgomery. He's got some terrific vision and make you miss, but he shouldn't have to put that on display against the first level of the defense with the spinning and the juking and the daxing and everything that he's supposed to do. He's getting the ball and has nowhere to go.
Now, listen to Bernstein and McKnight, 9 to noon on Sports Radio.